spines. If you got good bait, he'll tip that.
I'd like to relate.
I like fishing. Do fishing.
Yeah, he likes fishing. I got Leif Seberg here. Hey, Leif, how's it going, man?
Great. How you doing, Depp?
I've been seeing you a lot. You were the speaker at the Chamber of Commerce meeting the other day, and here you are again today.
Yeah, that was great. It was great to be able to meet some of those folks I hadn't and just kind of relay my message, the word of the fish.
You know, I'll tell you, it made me value even more what you bring to the Fishing Report, because not only are you a super motivated fisherman, you actually understand, you know, the rules, the laws, the different players in the big picture of that.
I appreciate that. It's been, you know, well, I spent my 10 years with WDFW there, and mm-hmm. I think about a cumulative, you know, almost 15 years in the quote-unquote industry of mm-hmm. fisheries and stream management. And, it's a very nuanced thing, and sometimes I feel bad, and I have in the past, too, knowing how they say the sausage is made, seeing people get mad at maybe the wrong folks, you know, or maybe in times when they should get mad at somebody, not getting mad at mm-hmm. them. No, we shouldn't be mad at each other. We should just be kind of working, to just with the right people to get the right things done.
It's true that things need to be done.
Yeah.
It's also true that some people can't do anything about it. I mean, if the office, you know, in Olympia isn't big enough, mm-hmm. well, maybe you got to go to Washington, D.C. And then it's absolutely a dialogue with the correct people.
Yeah,
and
don't waste your breath in the wrong venues, I've found.
Well, I know people are kind of wondering what we're talking mm-hmm. about. What we really want to talk about is fishing here in lakes and rivers.
Absolutely. So, what's going on now? You know, you can always get a hold of me. I'm happy to talk to you about what we're thinking about and what we're trying to work towards in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to keep this here thing straight to where they're biting and what's going to be happening in the next few weeks whenever we're talking.
On.
So, you know, lately, we were talking about January.
Mm-hmm.
January did not come. I came up with a new word. It's called June-ly. we got June lie instead of January. Instead of being super cold in that first week and a half of June, holy cow,
super
we all
hot.
Saw it. It was like, almost 100 degrees or was 100 degrees in a few mm-hmm. Of our microclimates around in the valley here.
Yeah.
And the river reflected that. It shot back up from right around the upper twos to lower 3,000s up to, almost 7,000 again, and
mm-hmm.
became completely unfishable for a while. I'm watching the river, every day as I drive across, I kind of give it a look, and then I check my phone and mm-hmm. check the hydrograph, the USGS at Pateras, and, today it's looking like it's going to be right into shape. I mean, there's pockets today that mm-hmm. you could fish, and we're going to experience some thunder and lightning over this next 24 hours, so I'm just kind of going to wait that out. I see some good weather coming after that.
Yeah.
Just going to be planning on hopefully just kind of dropping into fishing season mm-hmm. as we know it. And
so where are we at, about 5,000 or 6,000 or?
Oh, geez. Last time I looked, we were just at about 37.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're looking good. I mean, I say, you could kind of fish today if you knew what you were doing. And by tomorrow, we'll be at almost 1,000 lower.
Okay.
I'm hoping by, the midweek, it'll be great.
Okay.
And just kind of hopefully if we don't have any of these weather anomalies, we'll call that June-ly thing that we had,
mm-hmm.
Then it should just be kind of the normal style fishing and hopefully just the normal style runoff. I mean, we took a pretty big bite out of that thing in that week, but I think it'll hold fairly steady if we don't see any more of those huge anomalies.
Well, let's assume that.
Let's just do that.
How would you proceed?
I would, right now I'm going to my my usual hybrid system that I do in the spring with the rivers. I'm usually doing a nymphing rig, and I'm also doing a dry rig. I kind of don't use streamers as much as some people would. I find it helps me keep the bull trout off there a little bit, and just to kind of target the fish that I'm after, get more after the cutthroat and any of those residualized red bands. And so what I'll do is, we always talk about the golden rule of nymphing being the setting up 1.5 times your water depth. And with the speed of the water being a little faster, I usually throw on a little bit heavier nymphs. I forego the split shot that a lot of guys will use. There's nothing wrong with that if that's your approach. Stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'll usually do, you know, usually a tandem couple of bugs if you're competent with your throw. If it's going to be a headache, it's not worth a bunch of knots. You can always land a fish with one fly. But, you know, indicator rig, I like to use the yellow or the white indicators so they don't think they see an egg scan going by with, like, some of the egg-colored ones. I seem to eat those a lot. And yeah, I like golden stones a lot because that's the big mainstay stone in this river, although we do have a small salmon fly hatch early in the year. And boy, those stones are like 3 inches long.
Yeah.
I mean, they're scary alien looking things. but I don't think they're there frequent and long enough to become a real target. I mean, I'm sure they eat them.
Oh yeah.
But the real golden ticket here is the golden stone.
Okay.
And also the olives, the blacks, the peacocks, because those stones start off kind of dark, and as they're getting ready to crawl up on the rock, I think they get a more golden as their exoskeleton kind of starts to part from their skin. It kind of gets a probably duller color, which kind of goes towards golden. Yeah. And they're pretty neat golden colors. They get out of the water and split out of that.
Yeah.
And so I'll be using those or Copper Johns, Zug Bugs, a lot of your smaller traditional soft tackles or things like that for the dropper. And I usually set that dropper up about 16, 18 inches below your main bug there. And that's pretty much the nymphing unit I would recommend. And then, you know, early in the season, I'm usually just using stimulators in a real kind of generalized fashion. And stimulators are just a little deer hair bug. They've got just kind of a dubbing body and a, you know, just real stripped down bug. And what you can do, though, is just match the size and color of whatever's coming off.
Yeah.
Little yellow Sallies, little yellow stimulator, size 12, 14.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting some golden stones coming off, then use the size 8 orange stimulator there again. So, or you'll also use, I like the green small too. So, I mean, you can pretty much match almost anything with those. You don't have to get super technical. These aren't brown trout on the Madison or something like that. They're not looking, well, sometimes they will look for the upright wings versus the down, downlaying wings. So you might have to get a drake pattern, but that's about as crazy as you have to get for it. And so you'll do that until hopper season. And then you can kind of use any kind of foam and do some skating and stuff like that. But I would encourage people to use that stimulator in like a dry fly fashion, floating it by you. But when it gets to the end of that drift, kind of snap the line under the water and maybe even put your rod tip under an inch or two and work that thing back in a little jerky motion, because you'll get most of your fish at this time of the year underneath the surface there.
Okay,
not quite warm enough to come flying out.
Yep. Good information.
There you go. That's how to. You don't even have to hire me now. Everything will, you know, you'll get them all time.
No, actually, probably it's a good sales pitch for hiring you to do it, because that is some serious fish talk you just did there.
I try to do it as fast as I can. But
that was awesome.
You know, and hopefully it sinks in. Hopefully it sinks in at least a little bit to get you out there and have a little bit of fun.
That's real Ecclusian talk.
Yeah, right? Enthusiastic. Yeah. I tell you what.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, you first.
Well, I was going to ask about lakes, but I don't want
to. And I was about to talk about it.
Well, there you
go. That's so funny.
There you go.
Yeah, I went up with a good buddy of mine up to the Tiffany's. You know, when that water went up, I just figured, you know, there's no reason to beat your head against that wall.
Yep.
And so we went up to the Tiffany Lakes just ahead of this latest system. And since we were listening to you and your weather reports on the radio, we knew the thing was going to roll in about, you know, 4 o'clock. And so got up there early and made sure to get most of our fishing done by that time. We were kind of getting off the lake with the first of the front.
Uh-huh.
And the fishing kind of slowed down right when that wind hit and right when you could feel the cooler air come into the lake. But before that, boy, we flew kind of in there, dropped our boats, and then made pretty quick pace up to the upper lake. Uh-huh. And I went up the trail this time. That was weird. In all my, you know, 40 years, I finally went up the trail to Upper Tiffany Lake. And that's not a bad way to go.
Oh, good.
It's not bad at all.
You learned something.
I usually just kind of scale this one cliff, like through this one crack, and then I go in through this marshy spot, and then I hike up the boulder field below the lake. And I was like, wow, this is kind of a lot easier.
That's funny that you had not discovered that before.
Yeah, you know, to each their own, I guess. But man, incredible fishing. I bet you that lake has only been open for about a week and a half. We were definitely the first fishers in there. I saw no other tracks going in there. And boy, those fish were fun. You could throw the just like in the lower lakes I talk about sometimes, early spring, you can throw your bugger or what have you onto the ice and then just kind of pop it right into the water, and they'll come darting out from underneath there and grab it, we saw a couple groups of fish. I don't know, one that was probably 10 to 12 on average, mostly 12. And then there we'd get a couple that were 14, very stout, you know, well-fed. They're eating some small midge or something like that, but they're eating a lot of it. They're like a medium, you know, as far as like skinny, medium, and huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very good fighters and just super fun. I saw, you know, a few pools of like... or schools of like 12, 10, 12 fish going by. Almost had flashbacks from Omak Lake.
The Hottens.
Yeah. It was like, is this a cutthroat thing you guys do? And they were like, you know, all of them 12 to 14 inches cruising by me. And so I'd spook like 10 of them and I'd catch one. And it was great. It was fun. Yeah. And then we dropped down, hopped in our boats, plugged away at the Brookies for a little bit. You know, a lot of the time I usually just end up going to Upper Tiffany, which a lot of people don't go to Upper Tiffany, but it's it kind of spoils you. Those brook trout are definitely, you know, they're beautiful and you can get a lot of them. And I suggest you do take, you know, your 10. We read the signage up there. I haven't noticed. I hadn't heard of the change so far, but they want you to release the cutthroat. And I think that would be a great idea because I don't see any in that lake really. And you see a lot of brook trout. And that's kind of an open faucet to our, you know, tributary there at Boulder and the upper. Chewuck and Met House. So take them and fry them. Don't feel bad about it. Good. So yeah, river's shaping up. There's always that option. You know, I can tell you it's not frozen up at Upper Tiffany now. There's other things to do like Lewis Lake up the Twist River there. You know, if you want any more info, you can always check out the podcast and my blog at Fly Fishers Pro Shop. You can get a hold of me at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com, or you can give me a call to book a trip or get some fishing tips at 509-429-7298. Hey, y'all, get that fish right on. Tip that I would like to make. Come on, put my bow and my line. I'm going fishing. Mama's going fishing and the baby going fishing too.